Chick Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now. Holding brain hands.
I need a website, son.
What, Pop?
I need a website.
Well, if you're like Pop and you need a website, why not get on the internet and type furiousmarketing.com.au? They build all types of websites and can also help you with marketing your website. Furious Marketing can also be found on Facebook at Furious Marketing. So, for all things website and marketing, you should be following furiousmarketing.com.au.
Is they furious at me, son?
Shh. That's their name. And the ad's over. Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So, Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. We thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast. Welcome to the Tech Webcast podcast, episode 433, recorded on the 24th of June 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. Your hosts today are Brad. Oh, sorry, Brad's not here today. It's Jacob and Aldwyn and myself, Daryl. And our very special guest is Paul Herman. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
And welcome to this episode. And sorry, I didn't delete Brad's name off the spreadsheet for today. And so I started to say his name and my mind went, But so Brad's having a break today. I mean, I don't know how he manages that. Perhaps he owns the podcast. Maybe that's the reason. But he's away today, so you're all going to have to put up with just the three of us co-hosts and our special guest. And Aldwyn, how's your week been?
I've had a great week. Thank you, Daryl. And we will be missing Brad today. However, I'm sure he's with us in spirit. And I'm sure he'll be listening to this afterwards. So hello, Brad, if you're listening to this. I've had an awesome week. I've actually run my first solo half-day media workshops. I did one in Brisbane on Tuesday and one on the Gold Coast on Wednesday this week, and they went really well. Both rooms were packed out. And actually, Paul was at the Wednesday event, and it went really, really well. So, I've had some awesome feedback from that. And, apart from and dealing with a few little personal sort of tenant type issues. Apart from that, everything's going really well. You know, life is constantly full of challenges. So I think you just need to, you know, soldier on regardless of what curveballs come your way and just deal with each situation the best you can moment by moment. So I've been really practicing that this week as I've been putting myself out there with the media workshops. I've also launched Movie Review TV this week as well, which is on YouTube. So we've reviewed three movies with a guy called Michael Thompson. So similar to the At the Movies show with Margaret and David, which actually stopped after 28 years on ABC and SBS TV. Margaret and David did a fantastic movie review show, and we're missing them. And we thought, well, you know, I think it's time that But we did a bit of a fun show similar to their style, except ours is, it could also be called Red Wine Reviews because we like to have a bit of a drink of red wine while we're doing it and have a bit of fun with
did
the movie.
You,
so reviewed.
Did you, with your movie reviews, like iView have got, because David Stratton just has just done a three-part series on his life in Australia and movies and various other things.
Yes.
And there's a number of the movies that he talked about in that show, like Australian movies like Wake in Fright and a few others, they're actually sitting on iTunes, oh, not iTunes, iView at the moment. So just a shout out if you've, okay. been, if you've been watching that series and he's made reference, you know, to a number of those, well, you know, like well-known Australian movies of the period that the ABC has managed, must have got the rights to some of them, and they're actually sitting on iView for a short time. So you can actually jump in and catch up on some of those movies.
Oh, okay, great. Well, there was a movie done about David's life, actually, which I saw, and that was fantastic. And it was like a documentary of Australian yep. cinema over the last 100 years. It was a really, really good movie, yeah, I thought. Yep. And, you know, from watching that, and I'm a regular movie goer anyway, so it's a bit of a fun thing we've started. They're just between about 5 to 10 minutes long, the shows, and they're all on the Aldwyn Alternay channel on YouTube. Cool. People can watch. So, so this week we've reviewed Table 19, the movie Table 19. We've also done The Zookeeper's Wife, which is a very powerful film, and then also Red Fire, I think it's called. Another one which I didn't really like, so that's why the name is kind of Free Fire. It's called Free Fire, and it was very Tarantino style, and basically it was I didn't really like it, but Michael liked it, so I gave it a 2 and he gave it a 4 on that one, and they're all shared on Facebook as well. So yeah, we had a bit of fun. It's been a great week, and looking forward to the show today with Paul. So how about you, Daryl? How's your week been?
It's been a good week actually. Work's been not too bad. We've finally, I think, just about bedded down all our changes. We had a change to our computer server and a few other bits and pieces, and so that's meant you usually get a few glitches and gremlins with that sort of stuff. So I think we've just about got that tidied up, and I think next weekend or the week we'll be going into rehearsal for the musical Jekyll and Hyde, which will be coming on here in late October. So we've gone from Monty Python humour to a really black drama with quite a few people being bumped off during the show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a good week.
Awesome. And what about you, Jacob?
Yep.
How's your week been?
Rainy as heck.
Raining.
Oh, really?
We had a hurricane up near us.
Ah, I knew there was a bad one around. I'd heard, but I didn't know exactly its location.
It went between Texas and Florida.
Ah, okay.
And so, it was named Hurricane Cindy.
Cindy, as in Cindy Crawford or something like that?
Yeah, and all my life, they never went past Hurricane Jacob. They've never done it.
Have they never done it, Hurricane Jacob?
They've never done it.
Oh, well, you'll have to contact whoever names the hurricanes and say, well, listen, I've got a name for you.
They already did Brad twice.
Well, you know what Brad's like. I guess he's like two hurricanes, I guess. Well, excellent. So, Aldwyn, would you like to introduce our guest for today?
Yes, absolutely. The wonderful Paul Herman, I have known for many years on the Gold Coast, and he is a very courageous man, I must say. He has taken on the banks, in fact, not just taken on the banks for fraudulently altering loan documents. He's a property investor who's had some run-ins with a few different banks, and he has arrested the ANZ Bank for fraud. He's taken on the National Bank, and he is out there. He's had a lot of media exposure. He's been on A Current Affair and radio and newspapers, and he's a man not afraid to speak his mind, and I love that about him, and he really is a big stand for justice. And today we're going to be talking about technology as it relates to consumer and political activism. So hello and welcome, Paul.
G'day there. I'm blushing. I do quite like it when people say nice things about me.
Oh, well, you are an amazing man, Paul, I must say. And actually, I was with Paul out at Russell Island doing some footage that ended up going on A Current Affair of basically one of his properties being auctioned off. And there was a bit of a interesting scene there, wasn't there, Paul? So would you like to maybe start off and explain what happened there at Russell Island?
Yeah, look, the National Bank was just selling some of my properties without informing me. So they didn't, say, we're going to sell some of your properties. I got into financial difficulties. I was trying to negotiate with them. And so when I found out that they were being auctioned, we went along and protested and asked Baldwin to come along to do some filming. And they were trying to auction a waterfront block of land that I had, and I was handing out leaflets. I was handing out information for the people there, and the policeman didn't think that was going to be allowed, and so he was trying to stop me, and I was trying to run around and dodge him and hand out this information. I've found out more recently that your rights to protest are internationally guaranteed, and basically, we've got fairly extensive rights here in Australia to protest. So he was actually stepping over the line a bit, but it made for really good footage, made for very good video footage.
And you handed out some pamphlets that day too. What did those pamphlets say to some of the other people at the auction?
Look, I was just informing people that the National Bank hadn't gone through the correct process. The banks, to give you a bit of an idea about bank behaviour, it's been in the media, a hell of a lot recently. The banks have been caught out forging customers' documentation, and that I think around about that time, I requested my loan application forms from National Bank and from ANZ Bank. And I found out that both of them had forged my income and increased my income, ANZ, by 400%, and they'd decreased my expenses down to a quarter. National Bank increased my income by 700%. So,
Wow. Yeah, so they're a bit naughty, aren't they, the banks? And absolutely, they do get away with it mostly because people don't look at their loan documents carefully, do they? And they don't know their rights.
Well, the thing is that when you sign a loan application form, usually the bank takes it and you never see that again. So you're not given a copy of it, and that's really bad because what they do to that document, you would never know. And we believe that somewhere between 30 and 50% of loan application forms have been fraudulently altered after the customer signed without their knowledge. That's huge.
Wow. That's a huge percentage of mortgage
documents.
That's up to half of them have been fraudulently altered. And why do the banks do this? Why do they alter the documents?
Well, what they do is they package the loans and they sell them to unsuspecting overseas investors, sometimes local investors, and they sell them as AAA-rated investments. Oh. Same behaviour that the American banks were doing in 2007.
That is just so wrong. Oh, my goodness. Yes. So what can we do about it as individuals? What can we do to help this fight and actually help bring some justice to this?
That's a really good question, and it's complicated because this matter has been before the Senate, the number of Senate inquiries. So I've given evidence before Senate inquiries. You can lodge a complaint with the ombudsman, but the banks pay the ombudsman, and the ombudsman services are really corrupt. This is nothing new. Evidence of that has been given to the Senate as well. But the government still rely on these government bodies. The ombudsman is set up by the government under legislation, I think. But ATSIC is really corrupt as well. Lots of evidence about ATSIC corruption being corrupted by the banks. But, you know, the governments are still relying on a body which is really manipulated by the banks.
Wow. It's not good at all. However, it is good to bring this to people's attention so that in future they can get copies of their loan documents. And, of course, you've got a Facebook page as well that people can connect with and, you know, maybe you can get some kind of mass action happening towards the banks at some stage.
So we're about to launch a campaign and I need to have help from the community too because I've been putting a lot of my time and effort into it. So I'm going to launch a crowdfunding campaign and ask people for donations because, you know, I don't have the sort of money to run this campaign. But, you know, there's a lot of organisations. The organisation that I've started is Bank Ripoffs. So it's a Facebook page. We're going to have websites, so we're doing that now. But on Facebook or LinkedIn, we've got a presence there too. But Twitter and Instagram, we're working on as well. But there is some support groups. So, you know, if you've got problems with the banks, it is worthwhile going through the ombudsman because sometimes they can help and sometimes they won't help. But quite often it's a good delaying tactic, at least was for me. But also there's support groups like Bank Reform Now is very good and the BFCSA has helped a lot of people too. Each of these organisations, though, are limited because there's thousands of people out there who are affected by these issues. And, you know, we're all trying to do the best we can as individuals, perhaps with a little bit of help. But it's been quite a hard road.
So, Daryl and Jacob, do you have some questions for Paul?
No, but I have something to add in.
Yeah, good.
Sure.
Well, it kind of leans into what he's doing, but like a while back, I won't name the business or anything like that. They were like forging people's names and stuff. It was like an AC company. They were forging people's stuff and stuff like that.
Okay. Yes, so it's happening quite a lot, probably a lot more than we realize, I think.
And I don't think that business has not been caught yet.
You don't think business has what? Sorry, Jacob, I couldn't hear that properly.
No, I don't think that business has been caught yet.
Caught. Oh, it hasn't been caught yet. Mm. Right. So they're getting away with it.
I think a lot of large corporations use their power in really unethical ways. I mean, I don't think that's new to anybody. But, you know, I think as a community that we need to make sure that every company is a good corporate citizen. And I'm very interested in politics. I'm interested why this happened, why it happened in America, why it happened in Australia, and, you know, why it, you know, it's a little bit different in Europe as well, but basically it's the same story. You know, why are these big corporations totally manipulating the democratic processes in these countries?
Yes, absolutely. Daryl, have you got some questions for Paul?
You were talking about earlier about, you know, social media, and so how have you sort of used social media as a sort of a tool for your advocacy?
Well, you know, it's certainly Facebook would be our main focus, and it's changed quite a lot because Facebook now has a big focus on making money. So if you put a post on Facebook, they continuously pester you to boost the post or to run some Facebook adverts. So we're looking at that, but again, it costs money. And I don't want to spend the money if I can help it. So, you know, I'm keen to have posts that will go viral, especially video posts. And, you know, we've worked over the last few months producing videos. We got the video from Channel 9, so the local TV station, that filmed us when we, when we arrested the ANZ Bank for fraud.
Have you looked at sort of probably one of the biggest groups that sort of harnessed, if not social media, but even emailing, was GetUp. And they are political, the political group, but they've really, you know, come from, you know, I mean, from nowhere, and they have a huge influence because, you know, any sort of political issue that they take an interest in, they can then send out, you know, messages to their followers and say, look, you know, support this, or if they're requiring a little bit of money so they can put an ad on the media, on, you know, old media in particular. They just send out a message, and I know that it must be working because there's been quite a few politicians, particularly on the conservative side of politics, that have been completely frustrated because, you know, and they keep saying, oh, we need to stop these groups like GetUp and not have them funded. Well, the problem is they're crowdfunded, and so they can't really stop them because it's a democratic process.
Yeah, look, they have... I tried to limit the influence of GetUp by reducing tax deductibility for such organisations, and I think. But you know, GetUp does you know great work. I'm a keen environmentalist, and GetUp's just been really effective, really pushing issues to the communities. Awareness and you know having a big impact on politics locally. I'm not 100% sure how interested they would be in our causes. I was keen to talk to GetUp at some stage, but you know they are a great example of what can be done and how to reach you know millions of people possibly. You know I don't know how many, well at least hundreds of thousands of people in Australia, and you know it. I think it's really important in business in general to always remember to utilise emails and utilise email campaigns to get your message out. And I'm probably not as focused as I could be on emails.
They certainly use old technology. By emails, old technology. And they seem to use it very well. And whether they'd want to get you know people out to a protest on some issue, or particularly putting ads in, because you often you know the big companies. Well, now remember when there was whatever your political views when the mining tax was a big issue and the mining companies were able to spend millions and you know put ads on putting their point of view, but the alternative, if you had an alternative point of view as an individual, you don't have the resources or the money to be able to put a prime time ad on. But a group like GetUp, now what does I say, whatever your politics is, you know, can actually galvanise a lot of people and you all chip in a little bit of money and suddenly you can get an alternative ad up.
Well, you know, I agree, and GetUp's been also really effective in terms of getting people out on election day. Yep. So getting how to vote cards and you know influencing particular seats, and I think that's you know a great success story. And likewise, my focus has been to get out and protest outside bank branches, so to get some really effective signs made up and to protest, you know, just down to the local branch, and it's a lot of fun, and it hurts the bank. You know, it's embarrassing to the bank, and you know, if you can get the media there, and if you can get national footage, that's great. I think that traditional media, it's really important to use traditional media because there's still plenty of people that watch it. You can get the videos and you can work with them later. On our Facebook page, we've got the Channel 9 footage, and then we've added stuff at the end and given people a bit more of an explanation of what we're doing and what the situation is.
Excellent. So it's sort of lots of small, not to say small people, but lots of individuals can make a difference if they can just get together, whether it's through social media or through, you know, grabbing the attention of one of the big news networks.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, we all know the power of Facebook. You can make a video very easily if you've got something interesting to tell the public. And in my case, I'm just really keen to make the public aware that their mortgage documents may well have been, or their loan documents may well have been forged by the banks. And, you know, that they need to think about the consequences of that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, yes, it's sort of like, you want to make you want to make sure that when you're doing, well, when anything financial, that you've got, you know, I'm amazed because it's been a long time since I had a mortgage and everything, and I hadn't sort of thought about the fact that, yes, your mortgage documents tend to go to the banks or financial institution, and then they sort of get housed there, and you don't actually think about them again until perhaps you're paying out your mortgage at the end of the period, and you think, well, I'll...
Well, you know, you would never see the loan application form again. You would expect that, it's not so relevant. After you sign it, the bank has a look at it, and then they come and talk to you about the loan, and they make up the loan documents. And the loan documents is basically the contract. The mortgage documents are the contract.
Do you think that... Do you think that some of the issues relating to the banks, like with that, is because in a lot of cases the banks have, like, you know, contracts with other, if you like, third party people that deal with, you know, mortgages and loans and actually financial advice in general, and they're all on these commissions to sort of say, well, if you get more people in and approved, then you get bonuses. And it becomes sort of easy in a way to, like in cases, to say, oh, well, this person might be on the borderline of getting a loan because of his income. If we just, you know, scratch that out and bump him up a few thousand dollars, then that'll get his loan. And then, of course, we'll get our commission from the banks for getting that loan.
Yeah, look, there's been... you know, quite a few cases where mortgage brokers have done that. But look, it's not as that extensive, I don't believe, because what the banks have been doing is they've been forging the documents themselves. So if the loan application form comes in and it's not good enough to get a loan approved, they've just been changing the figures. From their perspective, this is good business because, you know, perhaps there's a small percentage, you know, like in my case, it was a bit too early to trust me with such large sums of money, and then I had an illness. So, you know, I don't know what percentage the default rate is, but I think it's around about 1 or 2% on low doc. So it's not that high, and they can cover that, the default rate. And because they're getting 98% of the customers, it works out, and, you know, everybody makes money. There's been lots of evidence that the banks are actually training the brokers to inflate incomes. So, but, you know, the impetus is coming from the banks, and that, you know, one would think that the banks would be making sure that their employees and contractors are not breaking the law. But there's been so many cases, not only with mortgage documents, but so many cases of banks forging customer documents. It's just unbelievable. And it's, you know, that sort of behaviour's got to stop. I think, you know, as a community, we've got to stop that sort of behaviour.
You think it would be hurting the banks? The risk that it could hurt the banks inadvertently is high, because if you've got people with loans that in the end they can't pay, you know, and it only needs the interest rates to go up a percentage or two, and it'd be, there's already going to be a lot of people that are going to be in distress because they've got, you know, high mortgage and on low interest rates. And if they sell off this, if they're selling off loans to other providers, it is like that US situation going back before the big bust, where all these toxic loans were floating around, and it's why, you know, banks banks like Lehman Brothers and all the rest of it went to the wall, because they ended up with, you know, with massive portfolios of, and of course house prices crashed, so they couldn't even, you know, even selling the houses, they couldn't even recoup, you know, a fraction of what they'd actually given people in mortgages, and people just walked out the door. I remember my brother lives in the States too, and he said people just packed up their car and left, and just left the house and said, "We'll take it," you know, and the banks were left with this toxic debt.
Mm. Yeah, look, it's a big worry. You would think that the banks have learned their lesson and just been a little bit more prudent. You expect banks to be prudent. But there's been a lot of economists who have warned that we're facing a serious bank crisis with the end of the property boom approaching. And, you know, that Australia is very vulnerable. In fact, it's, you know, the IMF has been warning Australia, the RBA, you know, is voicing its concern about household debt, which in Australia is at a staggering 125% of GDP, which is, you know, like that's close to a world record. America's debt to GDP, household debt to GDP, was about 65% in 2007. So Australia was, yeah, the Australian economy is really vulnerable, and Australians are really vulnerable with huge debt, household debt, mainly mortgages and some credit card debt. But, you know, if the property market falls and the house is worth less than the mortgage, you know, it's, and I guess this happened a lot in the USA, you know, it's going to be really serious.
Well, it hurts both. I mean, it hurts the person who loses their home, of course, you know, that they haven't got a home that they've been paying for. And it does hurt the banks, because then the banks have got all these houses that are only worth a fraction of what they were. And so it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, I mean, when I'm old enough to remember that in the old days when there were issues like this, the Reserve Bank had the powers, and the Reserve Bank called it a credit squeeze, and they would just pull the banks into line and say, right, you've got to stop doing mortgages for a certain amount of time or slow them right down. And so people, it was frustrating because people who wanted to get a mortgage in some cases couldn't get it, but it did slow up that situation and didn't risk what might be around the corner.
Yeah. Look, I think we're coming into really interesting times, and the regulators have not restrained the banks enough. They've come out and, you know, voice concerns, and APRA, I know, has told the banks to reduce their lending, but quite often the banks don't comply or don't reach the targets that APRA asks for. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of economists that are saying that we could face really serious consequences in the Australian economy. And in America, property values fell by 42% after 2007. And in Ireland, property values fell by 56%. So, you know, given many economists are saying that Australia is vulnerable, you know, if our property markets fall by somewhere between 40 and 60%, I mean, it'd be absolutely devastating for the economy. I'm sure that, you know, that will be okay in the long run, but I think that it'll be a devastating shock, and it could be as serious as the 30s depression.
Yeah, so it's interesting time. So what would you advise people who are thinking about getting a mortgage now? Are there any things you can tell them to sort of maybe limit the risk that a lot the problems that you faced?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's really unwise to buy at the top of any market. I mean, obviously, you know, when you look back on markets and you can say, you know, you wouldn't want to buy, when you look at a chart, you say you wouldn't want to buy at that level. And I think that that's going to prove to be the case if you're buying real estate in Sydney and in Melbourne at these levels. You know, Brisbane's a little bit different. I think the Gold Coast here, we've got quite a strong market and maybe near the top. You know, I think that's one thing to consider. But I think if you've got a mortgage, you don't want to be carrying a high debt level. It could be dangerous if we have a serious downturn in the property market. And my recommendation to people is not to be too worried about people who are doomsayers. I would take considered advice, and I would get advice from some of the best property analysts, and I know some of the analysts are very bearish and some of them are not so bearish. By that I mean, you know, some of their outlooks are negative and some less negative, but I would certainly be doing really careful research, and I'd be buying advice from some of the property analysts where you can get you know, quite cheaply their reports. You know, for under $100 or around about $100, it's money well spent. If you've got a house, I'd consider taking profit at the top of a boom. I think that's always a good idea. If we do have a serious downturn, well, then I would be looking. I wouldn't be rushing into the market, but there'll be some amazing bargains in the market. So, you know, when you see it, you know, I guess with any downturn, you know, buying at the bottom is a good idea. And, you know, I think if there is a serious downturn, there could be great opportunities.
That's what I remember when, you know, if people think that, well, interest rates are so low, they'll never go, you know, they'll never go up, or their people have gone through, they're young and they haven't actually experienced high interest rates. Going back when I got my little apartment here in Mansfield, the interest rates were coming down, but my mortgage rate was close to 14% when I and we've had almost a generation that's gone through now that hasn't had that, if you like, that terrible shock of interest rates being at like 17% and 18%, which they were back when Paul Keating was saying, you know, this is a recession we have to have. So just be wary, I guess.
Yeah. Look, I'm not sure what's going to happen with interest rates. I can't see the Reserve Bank really cranking them up because our economy is not really strong. Yep. Where, you know, the economic growth in Australia is quite modest and it's a bit anemic. So I think that sooner or later, any market that goes up and up and up, and basically the Australian market's been going up since 1967 quite strongly with, you know, a few retraces. And but, you know, it's any market that goes, it just can't go up forever. And, you know, there's interesting people that I listen to, like Harry Dent. He's really bearish, really negative on the world economies around the world. And he says that there's going to be great opportunities when everything crashes and when it hits the bottom. But I guess for people who have a mortgage and are concerned about fraud, you know, whether or not their documents were fraudulently altered, what I'd recommend is that you go and get a copy of your loan application form. And then go through it carefully and look at the figures that you gave, if you gave tax returns. I gave both the ANZ and National Bank my tax returns, and just compare, you know, your figures to their figures. And that does give you, you know, a different footing contractually. If they fraudulently alter your loan application form, it basically makes your contracts null and void. Nobody has tested that in court. There have been people who have gone to court saying that there's been maladministration in lending. So, and on that basis, they've had between quite often between 50 and 100% of their mortgage written off, so their loan written off. But look, get legal advice. I'm just sort of giving a quick overview. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, you know, I have heard of some of these cases, and some of these cases have come into the media. But, you know, it's quite an amazing situation. And personally, I don't like going down the legal pathway because the banks can afford the best lawyers. And I'm probably, you know, going to spend a fortune on a lawyer that ends up getting intimidated by bank lawyers. And there's plenty of cases of people that have taken on the banks. There have been some wins, but there's been plenty of people who've lost as well.
So, yeah, so yes, Tech Webcast and our guests, now we're not lawyers, so we always advise if you've got any issues you're unsure about in any sort of topic is to get some legal advice before proceeding, because you don't want to end up on the other side of the coin and taking action and finding that you've got a massive bill because you've lost. And then don't come back to Tech Webcast and say, hey, you guys told us to do this. we put a disclaimer out.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good point. Can I just ask, Paul, what sort of technology are you using to get the word out? I know you mentioned Facebook, and you've...
Look, I mean... just to
put that page you had one called NAB Fraud. Did you change that name or?
You know, my Facebook pages are ANZ Unhappy Customers, NAB Fraud Fighters, and Bank Ripoffs.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, we've focused quite a lot on social media, and we will ramp that up. So we're just starting a campaign, and we want to also run a crowdfunding campaign. Basically, I've got unresolved issues with both ANZ and National Bank, and so I need to get them resolved. So what I'm trying to do as a consumer activist is put enough pressure on ANZ and NAB to get a deal, a favourable deal, or to get justice, basically. For me, you know, I don't know anybody else who's doing exactly what I'm doing. Quite a lot of people have gone the legal route. Quite a lot of people have used support groups to try to get a reasonable deal with the banks. In terms of the way I use technology, I mean, the social media, but also we've been using freelancers as well to try to help us, try to help me, you know, because I'm on such a tight budget, paying somebody in Asia $2 or $3 an hour, you know, means that I can focus on tasks that aren't so routine. And but, you know, it's a really difficult road to go also with the freelancers, because you've got to have really good systems, you've got to have really good instructions, you know, work description and training manuals, so that you are really clear about what you want them to do. And quite often I've been ripped off and haven't got very good value, and it ends up being a waste of money. Even at $2 an hour American, it still really adds up. And you know, one of the things that with freelancer.com is they've got a time tracker, so they actually take snapshots of the work that the freelancer is doing, And that's a really good tool. It's really essential if you're paying them by the hour. And some tasks, you've got to pay them by the hour. And some tasks, you can do it by the job. But, we've found it's been a really steep learning curve.
Interesting. And what other technology or apps or software or anything you're using as well while you're doing this activism?
Probably mainly with video. The capacity with video to carefully explain to people something that's very complicated. So, my situation, it's hard to explain to people, and I've tried to hone my message more and more so that, I get an explanation, a brief explanation to people that they can understand. And video is a great tool for educating people. And it's a great tool also, if you're doing a protest and, trying to attract some media attention with a stunt, video is essential. If you can download video, say if there's a news item on television, quite often you can download the video. Not actually, sometimes it's difficult with news, but if it's current affair, quite often you can download their video and then start chopping it up and use it in your own message. But obviously, again, you've got to get permission and you've got to watch copyright there. But it's been good for us.
Yeah, awesome. And I guess the technology of using traditional media too, you've learned about that at my workshop this week. Learned more about that. So media is technology, the technology outlets, whether it's radio, TV or newspapers, there's all the technological base to all traditional media as well, which can really leverage your message so much further. So what are some new things you learned about using traditional media at my workshop this week?
Look, it was great. I we've worked together quite a bit, but it was great to have a holistic guide to how to utilise the media because, I have no background in media. So, I found your workshop to be really invaluable for me to, really think about how am I going to use perhaps radio, or how am I going to use traditional media or print media? And the landscape is changing so quickly. Quite a bit. Our focus is social media, but I've found that using or trying to get the media interested in what I'm doing has been really worthwhile, and you need to be able to get their attention. So to have that training in how to put together a media release, it's really important. And I, when I was first putting my media releases together, you helped me a lot.
Yeah, great. And also we talked about social media at the workshop. So we talked about things like Google+, which is very highly underutilized to get messages out there. Because while Google+ doesn't have as much engagement as Facebook, it will really help your search engine ratings or your SEO if you are on Google+. So you'll find that if you regularly post on Google+, that your posts will be seen and will get to page one a lot quicker than say posts you do on Facebook or anywhere else. So it's very important to actually utilize social media effectively when you're doing political and consumer activism. I would say not just Facebook, but also, also Google+, also Twitter I would be on, and also LinkedIn. So you can get to some of those decision makers. So I'd say they would be the main platforms that you would want to go out to with your messages. Now, you sent me a little note too, Paul, about, every 90 minutes, because you do a lot of work at your desk, every 90 minutes you should get up. Do you have a system around or a procedure there where you you make sure you move around to stay active and so that you're most productive in the office?
Look, I actually love to eat, so I jump up and I go to the kitchen and find something to eat. But I naturally tend to jump out of my desk, but I've got somebody helping me at the moment, and I think, you know, it's just been in the media quite a lot that having a healthy lifestyle is really important, and part of that is getting off your bum. So, and there was something on one of the health reports, I think, about we have a daytime cycle. So you have a sleeping cycle, but also you have a daytime cycle, and your brain's capacity to focus starts to wane about 90 minutes in. So, you know, I think that there's really important good health practices. So, you know, technology is fine, but the problem with technology is that a lot of people end up sitting on their bum for a really long time. And I find after an hour or so that, you know, I just don't feel so good. So I just jump up and get a little bit of sunshine.
Yeah, fantastic. That's great. Very important to have that balance, because a lot of people just, you know, particularly I guess with political and consumer activism, where things can get a bit emotional, it could probably be quite stressful if you think about these things too much. You know, you need to balance it out with a healthy lifestyle and really learn to balance your mind as well. Do you do meditation as well, Paul?
Yeah, look, I flunked meditation, but, I do try to do a bit. And I'm doing Tai Chi, which I really love, and it has quite a meditative aspect to it.
Okay. Fantastic. And Jacob, have you got something you wanted to add?
Nothing really.
Okay.
You hit the nails on the head.
Okay, very good. And Daryl?
No, I think I've sort of it's just given a lot of food for thought on the whole thing of technology, activism, keeping an eye not just on the banks but on any big institutions and that you deal with, and make sure that they're not doing anything they shouldn't be doing. And and also, seeing as we're talking about, you know, sitting down for long periods of time, I guess we need to round things up. So, Paul, where, if people want to talk to you about anything, whether it's activism or they've had issues with the banks and they want to get in contact, what's the best way they can contact you?
Yeah, look, probably through my Facebook page. There's my phone number. Look, if they've got a really serious issue with the bank or want to get a bit of advice, I can give limited advice.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just really from my experience and, you know, what I've learned. But my phone number's on the Facebook page, and also my email address. So what's really helpful is if you can put your story into a one-page document, so just into one page, so that it's fairly succinct and so that people can understand it. Because honestly, I've heard people quite often give me this long rambling story, and you get lost, and you need to be able to really distill it into one page so that you know, I can get to grips with it, and so that you can go to the authorities, perhaps, you know, to the ombudsman or to the media. It needs to be really simple and succinct.
Cool. That's good advice. So if people want to contact you, just go to your Facebook page initially, and there's further information there. And thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
And thank you so much for coming on today. It's been illuminating.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you, Paul. But before you go, Paul, can I just ask you about your computer systems? You know, what sort of systems you use and what you use for backing up your data?
Yeah, look, I back up to an external hard drive. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because people are slack. And, you know, when I first got a computer, I was pretty slack. And you don't want to lose all your hard work. So backup's great. The modern computers are super fast now with solid-state hard drives. I think it's, computers are really great nowadays, just getting quicker and quicker.
Yeah. Awesome. And what sort of backup hard drives do you use?
It's just a, it's just a solid state hard drive, but I'm thinking about backing up to the cloud as well. But, you know, there have been some people who have been active against the banks who've had computers go down and lost information and, you know, they believe that possibly hacked. So, you know, when you're up against big corporations, you need to take a few precautions too, I think.
Mm. And you're a PC guy, yeah? Not a Mac person?
Yeah, no, I'm PC.
PC, okay. And you also like to sleep early. Was it you that said to me that every hour of sleep after midnight is like 2 hours before midnight? Was that you that said that?
Yeah, I'm an early to bed person. I love about 6 or 7 o'clock I start thinking in my bed and I like to get up early.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, we could keep on chatting here, Paul. Is there anything finally you want to say before we wrap up with the co-hosts?
Look, I guess in terms of technology also, there's just so much education that you can get on the web, you know, like with YouTube, the national broadcaster here in Australia, the ABC, is fantastic. Radio National is really good. There's stuff like Best Practice, which is a program on Radio National. Best Practice. It's for business, and it's just, you know, talks about all aspects of running a business, and it's just great. But there's I'm loving exploring YouTube, and there's some just really good stuff, you know, on YouTube as well.
And ABC Best Practice, when is that normally on?
Anytime. Just go to your website on the ABC and or just Google Radio National. Yeah. I think it's on Sunday on the radio. Does anybody remember on them?
And a lot of those Radio National programs are also repackaged and podcasts. So if you miss it, like the live version, if you've got any your favourite, you know, podcasting app, and you just search for like Radio National, there's just a heap of their programs which are then repackaged, you know, and come out as a podcast.
And there's a lot of technology programs there too. Yep. A lot on psychology, science, and it's just, there's such a wealth of information there. It's really good.
Oh, brilliant. That's great. Thank you so much, Paul. And as you've said, where people can connect, maybe just remind everyone again, how can people connect with you and what are those Facebook pages again?
Yeah, look, Bank Ripoffs is the main one. And that's where we do most of our posting. But we also have ANZ Unhappy Customers and NAB Fraud Fighters.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Paul. And where can people get in touch? Thank you, Paul. And where can people get in touch with you, Daryl?
They can get in touch with me on the Twitters at Learnscape. And, yes, I'm still on Google+. I'm glad, Aldwyn, you mentioned that, you know, people still use Google+, although I must actually start posting again. I've been a bit dormant lately. But you can get me on Google+, at plus Daryl Hunt.
Awesome. And, Jacob, where can people get a hold of you?
At jazzbot326691z.
Awesome. Thank you, Jacob. And people can get in touch with me on all the main social media channels. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, at Aldwyn. If they look up Aldwyn Alternay or Media Queen, you'll find me there. Also LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest, Snapchat, thanks to Brad, and Instagram as well. And people can watch my online shows at Aldwyn Alternay channel on YouTube, and they can subscribe there to see all my online shows, as well as my media website, AAX for X-ray, pose, as in posing for a photo, pose.com. That's me. Love to connect with you and love to hear feedback on this show as well. So if you're seeing this on social media or listening to this on social media, we'd love to get feedback from anyone who's been listening. And thanks to all our supporters. I'll hand it back to you now, Daryl.
Yep. And a big thank you to our supporters on Patreon. And if you want to be one of those supporters on Patreon, just jump over to patreon.com/techwebcast. And so episode 433 is done and dusted, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. 'Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast.